You're listening to the podcast for all of the news, notes, and breakdowns for your Ohio State Buckeyes. This is Sons of the Shoe with Nick Wilson and Spencer German.
Sons of the Shoe is back. Nick Wilson, Spencer German. The impossibly loud theme music, which deafens my old ass every time. But we got a big game this week, obviously. Ohio State, Marshall. We got Ohio State news, some familiar faces coming back. The Marshall head coach, Charles Huff. A lot of funny things to say. Some of that you're going to hear in four down territory. But as we are a new show, relatively, please make sure to follow Sons of the Shoe wherever you get your podcast. 92.3 The Fan, the free Odyssey app. Of course, Apple, Spotify. Have I mentioned Apple? Follow Sons of the Shoe today, and don't forget to pop into our comment section on 92.3 The Fan's YouTube channel. Just type in 92.3 The Fan in the search bar on YouTube. Find us. We're under the playlist, and there are like two or three other things there. But make sure to comment because we love to hear from you guys. But hi, Spencer. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, it's funny. You bring up the YouTube comments. Every week I tell myself, you know what? I'm going to be better this week about going on to YouTube and replying to people's comments for Sons of the Shoe. And then every week I drop the ball. So I don't know what needs to change, but I need to do some soul searching, have a little pep talk with myself and figure out how to make that more of a thing. Cause we do appreciate you guys getting in the comments. I know Nick is always jumping in and commenting with you guys, and I've really dropped the ball on that end, so I apologize.
That's all right. I've dropped the ball on the podcast in general since summer. So I guess turnabout is fair play there, right? But obviously, one of the big talking points has been the emergence of Jeremiah Smith. And I think it's easy at this point of the year to say things like it's only two games or it's only MAC competition. Every single year there, Spencer, we have Ohio State guys that are, I mean, just in and out. Oh, this recruit's going to come in and do this. This recruit's going to – and 99% of the time, it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen till later in their freshman season. Sometimes it doesn't happen till later in their career. Sometimes it doesn't happen at all. So it's funny that I understand the pump your brakes mentality on let's not get too crazy about Jeremiah Smith, but you still can't look at this and go, like, this is non-typical for any freshman in Ohio State history sans one or two guys. That's, no matter who you play, that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, and I know there was a tweet last week that basically captured somebody went in and basically like mapped out every, you know, great receiver that's come through the halls of Ohio State and their first, you know, well, and really he tracked their entire first season. It's not even just their first two games. And Jeremiah Smith's already on pace to like shatter some of the greats of all time that have come through Ohio State. The numbers here were only 9 Ohio State true freshman wide receivers have had more catches over the course of a season. And this is just accounting for Jeremiah Smith's first two games. So through his first two games, only 9 true freshmen have had more catches throughout an entire season. Only 6 have had more yards, and only 4 have had more touchdowns. So like he's seen 6 quarters of action, and he's already out here doing ridiculous things. And yeah, like it's funny because we talked all offseason about like how involved he was going to be in this Ohio State offense, you know, how much time was he going to see? And we debated that. We had some fun with it, but I don't know that I don't know that either of us really properly forecasted how involved he was going to be from the jump, because I think we kind of just figured like, well, you know, true freshman wide receivers, he's going to be talented, but how much playing time is he really going to get when you got all these other guys in front of him, like Carnell Tate and Brandon Innes, where it's like, how involved is he really going to be? But he's been involved, as we've seen in the first two games, and it's been crazy. And I am like now at a point where it's impossible to put any sort of cap on what I think he can do this year and obviously beyond in his Ohio State career, because he is just that damn good. And to your point, like it's MAC competition, I get it, but no, like that touchdown against Western Michigan where he catches the slant and he's just gone, like that was clearly. The evidence of a guy that, yeah, there's a talent discrepancy there, And he was making those guys look silly because he should, but that's the type of talent that also shines through on the bigger stages when you're playing better teams too.
Yeah, I think what's wild about it is he's made Emeka Abuka, who's probably a first round pick this year, look pedestrian. And that's no, like, Emeka's not doing anything wrong. But no, it is just the talent with Jeremiah just pops off the tape so evidently. And it's so funny, like, I understand the rush to compare him to all-time great wide receivers in their freshman year. To me, this is bigger than that. This is like all Maurice Claret, his freshman year. This is Andy Katzenmoyer, his freshman year. I know that there are a couple others that we can kind of pop up there, certainly from those that, like, the 2000 teens teams as well. But, like, when it just comes to pure freshman year, like, oh my God, the first two names that, like, it's right on par with through two games is Maurice Claret and Andy Katzenmoyer, two of my favorite Ohio State players of all time.
Yeah, I think those are fair comparisons. Obviously, Claret is somebody that people remember very vividly, excuse me, because you know, the national championship that year and all those different things that came with it. But yeah, I mean, it's rare that you get a talent like this, is the point. Because I mean, and think about it, like, we've seen so many great receivers come through that program in recent history, especially, and we're already saying two games in that he's on track to be better than, like, even the guys you think of off the top of your head recently, your Garrett Wilsons, your Chris Olaves, your Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I had the take, obviously, this offseason that the moment Marvin Harrison Jr. got drafted into the NFL, he would be a top 10 receiver in football. I know the first game is of his NFL career didn't go too well. His second game had his kind of breakout performance, obviously, with the Cardinals this past weekend. But, like, Jeremiah Smith, I think, is already on that trajectory, which is crazy. Like, if he was eligible to be in the draft at the end of the season, I might feel like he's already a top 10 receiver in the NFL, which is just insane. But, yeah, I think those are two good comps in terms of other guys that have put up just wildly insane numbers in their first years. And I can't help but feel, like, excited about the prospects of this season plays out and we get to the end of the year and maybe it ends in a national championship and we have that to kind of hang our hat on, but that we're all looking back, you know, years from now, like, man, you remember Jeremiah Smith? Do you remember how good that guy was in his freshman season and what he meant to that Ohio State team that potentially wins a national championship? Like, this is the stuff of, you know, history books. This is the stuff of Ohio State lore that you look back on and you feel, like, really excited to reminisce about in years to come.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you say that. I think guys like Jeremiah Smith buck the inflexibility of the NFL system. And whether it was him or one of the Mike Williamses we all remember, Maurice Claret, Adrian Peterson, like, there are certain guys that come into college football that are just ready to even take that next step. And I do, like, I think in this era of player freedom and player empowerment, I do wonder if we eventually get to the point where the NFL realizes that they still, that there should be special exemptions. And, like, every 5 years we get a guy that we think, like, this dude could ball out tomorrow if you put him on the Cleveland Browns or if you put him with Pat Mahomes. And it's Jeremiah. Like, I have no doubt through two games. Think about how insane that is. I have no doubt that this kid could walk into the NFL and take over an NFL game. And that is, like, honestly, I said every 5 years. We're probably talking every 10 years. Because the last guy that I can remember at that level is probably Adrian Peterson. Maybe yeah. There's somebody in between him and AP, but, man, I don't know.
I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain here quickly, but I think AP seems like the logical answer for that question specifically. Yeah, like, I don't think there was anybody after that, was there? Like, maybe Derrick Henry, because that dude was just built like a Mack truck. But I don't even know if his freshman year, I don't know if he had, like, massive numbers, though.
Well, and remember, Derek didn't really hit his stride until like year three or four in the NFL. Yeah.
And now there's just that picture of him standing in midfield at the national championship game where he like everyone is just a dwarf compared to him. And he's like sticking out of his shirt and you're like, oh, wow, this guy is massive. I have to tackle that today.
So I also think it's interesting, like there are so many different barriers of there's so many different ways to classify the success for a season. Obviously, beating Michigan is the first benchmark, and winning a national championship is the next barrier after that, or the next benchmark after that. In between that is winning the Heisman. And if you had asked me who I thought on this team had the best chance to win a Heisman, we always go to quarterbacks. I think it'd be pretty it's way early to suggest Will Howard can. But again, at this point, he could put up some gaudy numbers. You never know. But I would have probably gone, if we weren't talking about the actual quarterback position, I probably would have gone running back with Travion. I don't think Abuka's that caliber. You know, JT Tuimoloau is a hell of a football player, but you know how tough it is for a defensive player to win that award. So I do think, like, now all of a sudden, Jeremiah threw two games. If this production continues, then again, for me, it's the conversation begins when you get into Big Ten play. Against Michigan State. If you get into Big Ten play and it's Michigan State, Iowa, and then Oregon, those are each one of those games escalates. And I think that perfectly escalates the hype of, well, you go into Michigan State, that's your first opponent. Maybe you put up 100 yards. You do the same against Iowa, people are going to start to talk. And then, especially if you do it against Oregon in that matchup, that'll be kind of the vintage game, the perfect opportunity to kind of make his case, you know, halfway through the season. And then, of course, the Michigan game can be the thing that sinks or swim that Heisman idea.
Yeah, you know, it's again, obviously we're talking just two games, but I don't think it's far-fetched to mention him in that category if he continues doing what he's doing and puts up the numbers that he's putting up. And obviously, like you said, there will be barriers there in future games when you're playing better teams that prevent him from just going off the way he has. But I don't think it's that crazy though, Nick, because, and here's the other thing. I don't know. Some years you go into a season and there's like an obvious answer, right, to who the Heisman, you know, winners are going to be or who the Heisman candidates are going to be. You know, there's a lot of talk about like Shedeur Sanders being in that conversation this year. If Colorado finds ways to win with their terrible offensive line, he's obviously, that's not happening. You know, and like Dylan Gabriel in Oregon is one. Carson Beck in Georgia is obviously one. The quarterbacks all come to mind, and maybe Will Howard enters that conversation. But like in a year where you don't have somebody that you feel like is a clear cut answer, I think this is the perfect storm for somebody like Jeremiah Smith to kind of steal that spotlight. If he continues being like the number one target of Will Howard, he puts up massive numbers. And you're right, like those games at the end of the season are where it matters. And that was the same thing. We spent a number of shows last year talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. and his Heisman odds. And the sports information department at Ohio State was sending us the packets of, you know, their campaign, if you will, for Marvin, and it had all this different information in it. Like, we were trying to sort of give some credence to that and boost it up and join the parade, if you will, of people saying Marvin Harrison Jr. should be in consideration. But that all was dependent on beating Michigan. And we, like, if that ball by Kyle McCord doesn't get intercepted because he gets hit and Marvin Harrison Jr. catches it, it looked like he had a clear run to the end zone potentially for a touchdown. Maybe we're talking about a world where Marvin Harrison Jr. is the Heisman winner. So it's just interesting. But yeah, like it's hard for receivers to win it. There's only been three in the history of the sport: Tim Brown, Desmond Howard, and Devonta Smith, most recently in 2020. But I do think Smith kind of paved the way for that to be more of a realistic possibility in today's version of college football. So I don't see why it's out of the question. If he keeps putting up the numbers like this, and that would be unprecedented for a freshman wide receiver to do it. But man, oh man, if he's on the trajectory that he's on and he can do that against the good teams, like you mentioned, the Michigans, the Oregons, et cetera, I think he's definitely in the running, because I don't know that there's like a clear-cut answer this year.
So I will say, Quinn Ewers from Texas is going to be a front of that conversation.
Yeah, I can't forget him. That was my bad.
Well, I think Cam Ward in Miami.
Him being healthy matters too, though, because obviously he just got hurt. I don't think it's serious, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Cam Ward in Miami is starting to put up some video game numbers. And that's super early, too. Cam has been great at Washington State, and I can't remember where it was before. But, like, Cam is a great player, but, like, that's early. But if they keep putting up those numbers, I think that's there.
I think it'll also depend on what Miami does. Like, if Miami falls on its face in the ACC championship game or something, they don't make the playoff or something like that somehow – I think that would obviously impact that as well. But yeah.
And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce this name. I nailed DJ Uiagalelei for a very long time.
I know he ain't winning the Heisman.
Well, no, he's not going to. But I'm using that to say that I know how to pronounce a lot of really complicated names. I cannot land the Tennessee quarterback's name to save him. Nico is what I'm going to call him. I think he's putting up some video game numbers too. Granted, it was against Kent State. But that's a really, really, really good Tennessee team. So just from a quarterback perspective, I think those guys are out there. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. And this is, you know, I think I will say the word of caution is I still think what Marvin did last year where – and this is not a knock. Kyle has performed very well in his several games at Syracuse. But last year, Kyle had ball placement issues, general accuracy issues, confidence issues, performance issues. The man was a walking, talking football ED campaign. And what the numbers that Marvin put up with Kyle McCord are still some of the most impressive numbers I've ever seen. Because he did that with half a season without Travion. Abuka was hurt. I mean, he was the one guy on the field. If he didn't have a big game, you were SOL. So I will say, I still think Marvin, what he did in his final year in Columbus, might be the most singular performance of a wide receiver I've ever seen, but I think it'll be interesting. Even if Jeremiah doesn't challenge that for this year, I think you can start to see that he is of the caliber to make that kind of challenge. So we're going to follow up on this, by the way. Spencer has something there. My dog's losing his shit. Don't worry. He's a dog. They do that. But when we come back, we are going to get you guys a preview for the Marshall game next right here on Sons of the Shoe. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.